And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on a day that still looks fantastic. Now, Weather Service and more are telling us that's soon to change. In fact, as you watch the radar loop right now, the storm that's approaching us from the northwest is just barely making it into North Dakota. It hasn't arrived here yet, but the chances are that by this evening, things are going to change pretty drastically. So keep an eye out, especially if you are heading home from work later on. The chances of snow encroaching on your drive, especially if you have a longer commute than just within city limits, is pretty high. Winds are due to come up. National Weather Service actually expects we will have accumulations starting tonight and through Thursday of 2 to 5 inches of snow, most of it falling in eastern North Dakota. This might fit with my guest yesterday, Naomi. She took a guess. And I'm going to hold her to it. She thinks the Fargo-Moorhead region is going to receive 4.3 inches of snow. And we'll see if Naomi gets that correct. This will bring fairly tough travel conditions, folks. If you are out in the open country as we start to see some blowing snow later tonight, and especially tomorrow morning, then there's a real strong possibility roads are going to slicken up. You will have a tough time seeing where you're headed. So lots of reminders are going to be coming at you through the rest of the afternoon and into this evening. Right now, there's a 60% chance for some isolated areas to get 6 inches or more. If that happens with these tight snow bands, well, maybe now is the time on a really nice sunny afternoon. Get out there and service those snow blowers. I'm sure plenty of farmers are already hooking theirs up to tractors to be prepared for all of this. Also, North Dakota State University Extension shared some tips for livestock as weather temperatures plummet and we see a lot more wind as well as we see the heavy snowfall. If you'd like to read that article, I forwarded it out on Weather and Ag in Focus's Facebook page, so you get a chance to read through that. When the wind comes up, animals really need that protection of panels or standing behind hay bales. You can open barn doors so they have a chance to go inside. All of the livestock that we have in this region, whether it be cattle, sheep, horses, they're built to withstand cold temperatures. And when that happens, they'll do just fine until the wind arrives. And so wind can really make the difference. As the miles per hour increases, it drops that temperature that the animals feel by several degrees. And so just keeping the wind off of them makes a big difference. I've had calls in the past where folks said, "But I see snow on the back of those cows or those horses. Is that good?" Actually, livestock extension specialists tell us that is really good. It means that that animal is being very efficient in heating itself and its hair is insulating it. And so actually that means that the animal's warm and the snow is not affecting them. That's a really good thing. In fact, rain can be worse for them than snow in those cold temperatures. So let's keep an eye out for our animals when we're sending them outside, if we are opening up barns or anything yet. But above all, good efficiency rates in their ration will make a difference as well. Lots of things going on besides the weather. One of those is a late announcement yesterday that congressional leaders have indeed agreed upon a $10 billion financial aid package for farmers. This is to help offset lower commodity prices and the high production costs that farmers are facing. Stop there for just a second. When we say high production costs, we're talking about seed, chemistry, fertilizer. Fertilizer, a lot of it's coming in from outside the country. And so with transportation costs being up and also things going on like the war in Ukraine, that's affecting transportation out of Russia and that general region. That's an increased cost. We have lower water levels on the Mississippi, and so it's hard to move as much fertilizer further north. And when we do when we aren't as able to move as much, again, that price will rise in our transportation costs. And something that a lot of folks have looked at, but many of the chemistries we use, and when I say chemistry, I mean herbicides, insecticides, and fungicides, a lot of those ingredients, not even the active ingredients, but ingredients like clay carriers, some of the petroleum-based items, yellow phosphorus, those come from out of country. And with potential tariffs coming on, we don't see a drop in those prices anytime soon. Transportation is up, those costs overall are up, interest rates are up, and we could see continued high dollars on chemistry that will be coming into the country because of the price of ingredients. So back to what's happened with Congress as of yesterday. the money would be part of a must-pass bill that the government's been working on for a while, but it would happen for the next 3 months. So what you're going to see is this final package of $10 billion, and it would include another one-year extension of the 2018 Farm Bill, authorization on a year-round sales of E15, and $20 billion in disaster relief. Funding for the government, by the way, is supposed to run out on Friday. So there's so many things that factor into this. But the stopgap bill would provide funding through March 14th. There are positive reviews from like the National Farmers Union, American Soybean Growers, and U.S. Farm Bureau. Now, will all of this come to fruition? That's what is the hope. We're working on all of those things right now. We knew that this economic aid package was being requested because the overall farm bill was in a deadlock. And you've heard me say before, only 50% of farmers are anticipated to show profit in the year 2024. This helps them to alleviate some of the concerns that they will have over the next few months when it comes to buying inputs, making do on their land payments, and so much more. Also, one thing that was attached to the original farm bill that did not necessarily pass for a variety of reasons, that original bill included legislation for AM radio to continue to be in passenger vehicles. And that didn't come through on this current spending bill, and it may have missed a cut that happens on the overall farm bill. I saw some messages this morning from the National Association of Farm Broadcasters letting us know that they are still working very diligently to make sure that that happens, that we get that information back in to legislation so that we do not lose AM radio. Some of you are thinking, why? The only people who listen to AM radio are, you know, like my grandpa. The reality is, even in today's world with cell phones, digital concepts on radio, or digital radios, we would call it satellite, etc. When you don't have AM radio and there is an emergency, AM radio is the way that you can most rapidly reach across the airwaves to a multitude of people. Even post 9/11, granted, we didn't have all the technology that we have to do today. AM radio is what kept a lot of people up to date and informed of what was happening. So it would be a tragic loss to a lot of areas, especially those of us out in the rural areas. And there's no doubt, we may listen to a lot of podcasts or a lot of satellite radio from time to time, but there are great reasons why we want to continue to see these packages pass for AM radio so we don't lose any of that information. Now, speaking of radio, since you're listening to me, whether it's on AM or our FM side, don't forget that you can reach out at any point in time today. You can reach me at 701-293-9000. That is the Red Wing Shoe line. Also, if you're not done Christmas shopping yet, stop in and see Teresa and her staff at Red Wing Shoes on Main and Fargo. They make a great holiday gift. While we're talking today, you can continue to use my email address, ag@flagfamily.com, and any other means that you'd like to reach out with comments, ideas, and suggestions. Sounds like it's just going to be me today. So lots of things that we haven't had a chance to cover yet this week due to some really incredibly fun guests that have been able to join us. And if you're curious what's going to happen for the rest of the week, well, we do have guests coming on tomorrow. We'll be joined by Dr. Emily Fox. She is with the Ashley Veterinary Clinic. And one of the things I asked Dr. Emily to talk about with us is the Mexican screwworm, which has recently stopped beef imports into the U.S. because of the potential of carrying that screwworm in. So what is it? How invasive is it? My understanding is that once upon a time, we essentially eradicated the screwworm in this area as a parasite or in this country. Why could it be coming back? Well, we'll find out from Dr. Emily. And then on Friday, Chris Sherman with Tech Support Farm. Every time Chris comes on our show, he does a great job of explaining things that are going on in the cyber world that we could do better. And you know, what a great time for us to take that more to heart. It's the end of the year. You're doing a lot of online shopping. What are some methods that you could be doing to be safer, not only when you're shopping, but maybe you could be planning ahead, especially on farm. Is it time to have an evaluation by someone who does cybersecurity to strengthen your network, to change your passwords, and make sure that you don't run the risk of being hacked in some way, shape, or form? Also, this is the time of the year where a lot of checks, insurance documents, accounting information. I mean, honestly, I've just dealt with all those things in the last 2 days at my house. All of that's being transferred back and forth electronically. Are you using secure methods to do that? What are some of the things that Chris can talk to us about how to get that done? And I think also, as livestock producers, if you have camera systems, could you be doing a better job of securing them with upcoming calving season that will start to make sure that nobody's hacking into that? Camera systems have come a long way. They not only let you look in on your animals almost like a daycare monitor, but instead you now get the opportunity to also see if there's some activity with calving. Maybe one of your cows looks like they're ready to calve out, and you get a chance to tell that with an alert on your phone. I have Jerry from Moorhead on the line. And Jerry, I think you have a question for me. What can I help with?
Well, it wasn't a question. It was more of a comment. I was at Walmart and I found this little thing that you put in your cigarette lighter so that you can have FM radio. I just think it's kind of ironic that the car manufacturers got rid of AM FM radio before they got rid of the cigarette lighter.
Jerry? You make a great point. We don't have cigarette lighters, but we wanted to get rid of AM FM radio. That's really very true. I hadn't even thought about that.
Well, of course, now they're called, power ports or whatever, but still, I mean, it's still the same function as a cigarette lighter. So, but
I'm going to guess you remember. Oh, go ahead. Finish your comment about satellite. You finished about satellite first.
Well, I was going to say, if you're listening to XM Satellite out of Memphis or something, are they going to break in with a tornado warning between Moorhead and Fergus Falls? No.
No,
that's
you're right.
You need to keep AM FM radio. So, I mean, to lose out on a purchase of a $60,000 to $80,000 car because they don't want to put in a $200 AM FM radio, I think is ridiculous.
I think you make a fantastic point, and I have to ask, I'm going to guess that you're a guy who remembers what the real purpose of a cigarette lighter was in the car. And did you ever burn your finger on it, like most curious kids?
Oh, yeah. That burned your finger on at least one.
Yeah. Jerry, thank you.
I was branded by my brothers. So.
Yep. I would say you weren't the only kid where that happened. So. Thanks for calling in, Jerry. I really appreciate it.
Yep, bye.
Thanks. All right, folks. Time to catch up with the markets from the Northern Ag Network and Jesse Allen. After that, we'll be right back. Awesome. The Weather Service has also just sent a new winter storm warning. I got this while we were listening to the market report. And so for those who have not yet gotten one of these cast clay alerts that come for the counties in this region, a winter storm warning was just issued by the Grand Forks National Weather Service. And that will last until Thursday, the 19th at 6 p.m. Our total snow accumulations are between 3 and 7 inches. With winds gusting as high as 40 miles an hour. This will include northwest and west central Minnesota, southeast North Dakota. So the biggest concern is going to be from 9 o'clock tonight. So I warned you about your commute on the way home. You got a little time. Everybody get the bread and milk, get on home, because it'll start tonight about 9 and last until supper time tomorrow night. That'll be a Thursday. Roads will probably not be great to plan on slippery conditions and very hazardous because of low visibility. So keep that in mind. If you have to be on the road, be firmly prepared. We've talked about winter survival kits before. That includes a snow shovel. In fact, I just added one into my pickup the other day to make sure I was ready to go. So don't be the only person who's forgotten those things. Make sure you plan ahead and have them. Now, speaking of planning ahead, Christmas next week. And I don't know if everybody's done Christmas shopping, but I had a couple of ideas I wanted to share with you. I made mention of them on one of our morning shows and was asked to put those out on our Weather and Ag Facebook page. And if you have a chance to go check there, that would be great. If not, here's a couple of things for you to keep in mind. We have had a guest on with Octane Press. His name is Lee Clauncher. Lee wrote a book called Snoopy and the Spy. And if you recall, it's about the case. Well, actually, it was the IH tractor at the time, the 2+2. And it's got the big long nose on it. Some call it the Anteater, but its official nickname from IH was Snoopy. And that Snoopy tractor was built during some time of great Cold War espionage. And Lee talked about the book and some of the great stories in it. If you have someone in your life who's a big fan of Red, as far as their farm equipment is concerned, you can make sure to order that book for them. And also, next week on the day after Christmas, we have an interview coming up with a guest. His name is Brian Reisinger. He's the author of Land Rich, Cash Poor. And now that I say that, I need to go find the synopsis of that book, because I want to make sure to let you know a little bit more about what it's about. And he subtitles it, My Family's Hope and the Untold Story of the Disappearing American Farmer. It is a story of the hidden history of economics and cultural crises that are threatening family farms. And it's critically acclaimed with quite a bit of praise across the political spectrum. A great read, available on Amazon and anywhere else you might want to go look for a book. Again, that title is Land Rich, Cash Poor, Brian Reisinger, and he will be joining us on the show next week. If you ever have other suggestions and ideas for show guests, by the way, never be shy. Many of you are not shy. Feel free to send them to me. I would be more than happy to give you some a chance to share that contact information so I can reach out to others. In fact, Monday, when Greg Amundsen joined me in studio, and for those of you who recall, Greg farms at Gilby, North Dakota, and he is a board member for the North Dakota Corn Growers Association. He talked about the day that he would love to have a longhorn in his yard as almost a pet/lawn ornament. Well, one of our listeners reached out and said, not only will I provide you a tour of the longhorns I raised near Hankinson, North Dakota, I'll come on the show as a guest and talk about them. Because earlier in the show, I mentioned that cattle up here have long hair. They're accustomed to the cold temperatures. And my first question when that gentleman called was, but wait, how do you have longhorns up here? They're usually a very thin-hided animal. And he said, nope, they've adapted well. And we're going to talk more about that in the new year when that producer from down by Hankinson joins me to talk about longhorns. And I'm going to just plant this seed as a question for most of you. When their horns are that big, how do they get in the trailer? Because those trailer doors are only so wide. So we're going to visit about that. Other potential gift ideas. Don't forget to check out Boundary. That's with an I, not a Y, boundary.com. If you have a overhead view of your family farm or you know the GPS coordinates, you can have a rug or coffee mugs or Christmas ornaments made that have an aerial view of your farm. What's fantastic about that is they could be play rugs for kids, grandkids. Maybe it's a big welcome rug for grandma and grandpa after they retired from the farm. Christmas ornaments that document the location. And tomorrow I will have a link from a podcast friend of mine. They are the Farm for Profit podcast, and they had a whole list of great farm shop ideas that you could be buying. And that list is created and held on Amazon. So tomorrow on our Weather and Ag in Focus Facebook page, I am going to post that list for you. I actually bought a couple of tools off of it this year, but I can't tell you about them till after Christmas, because then who I bought them for will know. But I'll post that list so you have a chance to go ahead and look at them and get the download on other things that you could be ordering for great Christmas gifts for those who are agriculturally related in your life. And then on top of it, we can be giving to farm charities such as our North Dakota 4-H Foundation, North Dakota FFA Foundation, which will be a featured charity during our governor's inaugural ball, so Kelly Armstrong's ball on January 18th. And then let's not forget about Farm Rescue, founded right here in North Dakota. It's time for the bottom of the hour news. When we return, I'll touch on more headlines, including a new way for farmers to access capital for their operations. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And remember, a winter storm warning has been issued starting tonight at 6 p.m. and goes through tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So plan accordingly. This will affect portions of northwest and west central Minnesota and southeast North Dakota. We're expecting 3 to 7 inches of snow. And if my co-guest host yesterday, Naomi, gets her wish, it'll be 4.3 inches. This has been issued by the National Weather Service out of Grand Forks. Winds could be gusting as high as 40 miles an hour. Expect lots of impacts on your travel, highways, and so much more. So everyone be cautious of that. But today is the 18th, and if you wanted to, you could run on out to Top Shelf Tavern. You just heard Alex talk about it in the ad, and you could join them from 4 to 6 p.m. today, so you'll get home before the weather gets terrible. And that is over in West Fargo. The reason I want you to go to Top Shelf Tavern tonight is you have an opportunity to qualify for the Vegas giveaway that we are doing, presented by American Security and Gate, Frontier Airlines, and Kingpins Social. The winner, if you recall, gets airfare for two on Frontier Airlines from Fargo to Vegas, a hotel stay, two tickets to see the Eagles on Saturday, January 25th at the Sphere, and $500 in spending cash. No, I'm not taking callers right now, but I will be taking callers tomorrow. Today, you can go on over to Top Shelf and Top Shelf Tavern, that is, and be able to qualify. Okay. The next thing I want to make sure to mention after we get through the weather is a great big thank you. Several of you have realized that Dean's gone today and have sent messages saying, thanks for doing this. I'll send questions and try to help out as best I can. So thank you to all of you who are listening and doing that. Also, I want to let you know that if you are doing any more holiday shopping, don't forget to stop by and pick up some North Dakota Sweet Crude. This is a liqueur from right here within the state. It's a special family recipe. And when Al comes in to talk about North Dakota Sweet Crude, it is never a bad day. In fact, they have been doing some taste testing in the area, and recommendations from listeners like yourself would be putting some North Dakota Sweet Crude in hot chocolate, or making what I like to talk about, the Auburn Hussy. An ounce of the sweet crude orange, 4 ounces of champagne, and one blackberry. Sounds wildly good. So keep those in mind. Look for North Dakota Sweet Crude. As I mentioned earlier, right now we know that farmers are always looking for creative ways to receive financing. One of those is a new way to access capital, and it's called fractional ag. So here's how this works. They use investor funds, and Fractional Ag purchases a minority share up to 45% of a farmer's owned land for cash. Somehow I feel like this is a reverse mortgage situation. Maybe I'm calling it the wrong way, but I really hope that the next opportunity for our farm Finance Insider segment with Greg from Starion Bank, we can talk about this. So what they're doing is the farmer maintains majority ownership and control when you're working with this fractional ag. A fractional ag does have some applications that they are stipulations on how they want the land used, such as no tobacco. That was interesting. Then the farmer pays fractional and annually adjusted premium, which currently equates to about 5.6% of the investment's current value. I can practically hear pencils on paper for some of you right now looking at it. Now, this 0.2 percentage point discount is applied for each approved conservation practice that a farmer implements. So the company currently has 8 approved practices that can help qualify for the discount. Fractional Ag and the farmer agree to a 10-year commitment, but the farmer can buy out Fractional after just 2 years by paying the current market value of Fractional's share of the land. So at the end of 10 years, the farmer must buy out Fractional, or there could be a new option for a new 10-year contract. Capital is quickly becoming a farmer's biggest need. It is not unusual for many farmers to need to go looking for somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million and much more for their operating loans throughout the year. So this is one little option that you might be able to use. So while innovating financing solutions can be helpful, landowners need to fully understand the terms of the agreement before signing on. I'd say there's a lot of questions that would need to be asked. And I'm a little curious if any farmers in our region have heard this discussion. You can certainly reach out to me at 701-293-9000 on the Red Wing Shoe line to let me know if you've been hearing anything from Fractional Ag, or if you have just a thought on how it might affect your farm operation. You can send me emails agatflagfamily.com. Thanks to many of you who are watching on our YouTube and Facebook streams, live streams, as well as Acres Television. Now, a couple other things that are going on in the marketplace right now. We see several large ag companies that are terminating jobs. And when I say there's going to be layoffs and so forth, let me preface that. Having worked in corporate America for about 25 years, oftentimes when layoffs were announced, it meant that current job openings might not be backfilled. So sometimes part of those layoff announcements means that job was open, we're just not going to fill it, and we're adding that as part of our layoffs. Employers who are, in fact, doing some layoffs in the region, one of them includes Cargill. Cargill will have about 475 employees in Minnesota that will no longer be employed. And overall, Cargill plans to do about a 5% cut of its staff. They felt that they had some pretty big revenue slumps in their most recent fiscal year as we saw crop prices hit a multi-year low. Now, Cargill, as an employer, has a number of folks on the payroll. They have somewhere in the neighborhood of, and I'm looking for the number for Cargill, it was basically what it said was that 5% of their global workforce would equate to about 8,000 workers. So feel free to go do the math backwards on that. I'm too busy reading details to start doing math at this point on Cargill. So the job cuts, again, affecting about 8,000 workers. And Cargill reported $160 billion in annual revenue in 2024. That was a 10% drop from their prior year. Other layoffs are happening with John Deere right now. John Deere has laid off somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 employees. Again, some of those are maybe jobs that aren't being filled. Some are job positions that are going to be closed. But in the discussion I most recently had with one of our largest agricultural employers in the Red River Valley, they also said, we are constantly looking for help. So one of the things that we are doing is not laying people off, but redeploying them. We will happily retrain you and give you a different skill set so you can continue to work for us, but just simply in a different area. So that may be an opportunity for some folks as well. Now, most equipment manufacturers right now are looking at a decrease in sales. In fact, on average across the big three, there's probably about a 30% drop of new sales year on year. The secondary equipment market has gotten a bit better, meaning that it's much more affordable than it was during the pandemic. So I see a lot of movement in that secondary market, whether it's through auctions or farmer-to-farmer sales and trades. Additionally, besides Cargill doing some layoffs and John Deere, Tyson Foods is closing three U.S. processing plants. That's going to eliminate about 1,000 jobs, and they're contributing that to the downward cattle cycle, meaning that we don't have as many animals in the country to slaughter as what we once did. We are currently at the lowest point in our herd numbers since the 1960s. Analysts say that in the next couple of years, we'll see that come up. But understand, in the livestock market, it's not like we can flip a switch and start producing new cows. We have to raise them and raise them well. So that's just a couple of the things that are happening when it comes to current ag industries and some layoffs. Now, let's talk a little bit about bird flu. North Dakota has had some cases of bird flu in the last couple of months, which is not necessarily a surprise considering that this is the time of year we see a lot of wildlife migration. And as we see those wild birds moving through here, whether they're ducks, geese, etc., they bring bird flu along with them. And they're sort of rude. They just leave that disease behind. Now, because of that, especially in a multitude of other states, there is an increased emphasis on testing raw milk to look for bird flu virus. In testing that has been done in six states, including California, Colorado, Michigan, Mississippi, Oregon, and Pennsylvania, bird flu has been found in raw milk samples. Now, what's the difference between raw milk and the milk we normally buy in the grocery store? Pasteurization. We've been pasteurizing milk for a long time. In fact, pasteurization began in the U.S. widespread for milk products in 1924. We've been doing it for 100 years, and we are doing that because there was a great concern about disease that could be spread through milk. Understand that certainly sanitation practices were not nearly as good 100 years ago as what they are today. If you are a proponent of raw milk, I certainly don't want to stop you. That is your choice, but I would recommend not going cold turkey. If you're going from pasteurized milk immediately to raw milk, I think you want to ease into that because that could be a bit of a change on your gut health. Now, the risk to people with from bird flu remains very, very low, whether it's in raw milk and especially if it would be in pasteurized milk. At least 58 people in the U.S. have indeed been affected with bird flu. Mostly those are workers on farms who've become mildly ill after close contact with cattle. Bird flu is one of the most minor things that has been a concern in raw milk. Realistically, there has been over the years very few instances, but probably in the years from about 2008 to 2018, there was a variety of other disease that was and viruses that were spread through milk, and that sickened about 2,500 people. There were a couple hundred that were hospitalized, but the reality is we still need to focus on the fact that we have the cheapest, safest, and most abundant food supply in the entire world. How you choose to drink your milk is entirely up to you. I'm just happy that you continue to do it. Just like that argument where folks get mad if you put ketchup on a good steak, you can put whatever you want on that steak. Just keep eating it as far as I'm concerned. I'm happy to have you doing it. So enjoy dairy products, whether it's in the form of cheese, yogurt, gelato, ice cream, whatever it might be. Just keep that consumption up. Calcium's good for all of us. Now, we will catch up with some news and be back. We'll touch on the weather one more time and continue with some headlines today. Be right back. Oh, a huge apology to one of our listeners today, Trucker Al. I'm sorry, I was reading and I didn't see the note from Addison that you have been diligently holding. Al, go ahead.
Afternoon. So just a couple of notes here. The passing lane up here by Grand Forks is starting to get a little greasy. And I got you another calendar, too, from one of my customers.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate those calendars. I use them for a variety of things to keep track of guests and what I'm doing on social media and so forth.
Yeah, that lead stone there. Hopefully you got the catalog, too. So there's all sorts of good stuff in that catalog. So I'll drop another calendar off at the state studio for you.
Thank you, Al. I really appreciate that.
Okay, you guys have a good day. Yeah,
bye-bye. You too. Thanks. I also had some questions come in thanks to just solid listeners who said, hey, while you're on the air today, what other winter farm or ag events should people know about? Okay, so there's a couple of things that come to mind. We are really entering the winter meeting season. And if you are curious about anything, NDSU Extension has a long list of meetings that they are having pretty much every day. You can attend a live meeting or a webinar. When it comes to trade shows, for instance, if you wanted to walk around and look at whether it's equipment and things, there will be the ICE show. It's the International Crop Expo. That'll be in February in Grand Forks. In March will be the International Sugar Beet Institute, and I believe it's in Fargo this year. That is in March. That's coming up. The winter show is held at Valley City at the beginning of March. The winter show really focuses on livestock more so than crop production. So if you're looking to take in the rodeo and see the 4-H exhibits, that is a great place to stop by and see those things. Agronomy on Ice will be taking place on February the 5th at Devil's Lake, North Dakota. If you think about attending a trade show, so whether it's the Home and Garden Show or Big Iron, and you walk by and you see people's booths, what Agronomy on Ice is, instead of having a booth, you got a fish house. It's on frozen Devil's Lake. And you can stop by from house to house and drop a line in the water, visit about farming, and likely someone has some food or drink to share with you. So it's a great time. That's Wednesday, February the 5th, that you could swing by and visit there. Then also, I was asked about some podcasts and whatnot that I do, as well as what goes on in ag that may be good ones to listen to. I'm involved with one called The Rural Well. And The Rural Well, all of these, by the way, can be found whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, etc. The Rural Well, I partner with the National Farmers Mental Health Alliance out of Ontario, Canada. And we talk specifically about mental health for farmers, ranchers, and those in rural communities. And we have about 6 or 7 episodes that are up right now. And we talk about all sorts of things, from what's causing the stress, tips and resources to help cope with it, where to go when you are grieving, because we do have a lot of loss that happens throughout the ag communities, and so much more. So check out The Rural Well. And also on Wednesdays on Twitter, if you follow me, I use the hashtag It's Okay to Not Be Okay. And if folks have stories, memes, resources, meetings that others can attend, places to find help when they are not okay. I would love to share those. Life is more than just the 988 number to call when you find yourself in crisis, especially coming up to suicide. Many people know that anxiety and depression affects them differently, and sometimes they need someone else to talk to or an example to read. So if you are interested, you can follow that hashtag. Also, I do a live chat every Friday on X, on Twitter, and you can listen to that at 11:30 on Friday. What I've also then started to do is to take those and repost those as a podcast on, again, Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts. And the most recent one that I posted was a conversation I had with David Sears. He's a farmer at Minnewaukan, North Dakota, and Chad Cooper, who is a rancher in near Springfield, South Dakota. And they both talked about struggles with mental health, what that looks like when they recognized that they themselves needed some help and how to ask for it, how they reach out to others that might be friends and neighbors who need that same kind of help, how they realized that the overuse of alcohol negatively impacted their lives and their families and what they did to change that. It was a great discussion with a lot of other people chiming in as well. So you can look for the Nooner Chat is its name, where you find your podcasts the same way that you can find the Roll Well. And the reason it's called the Nooner Chat was 11:30 on Fridays. It was a great suggestion from a farmer follower who said I could use that name. So I do. Other podcasts that you might find interesting out there, Farm for Profit. Farm for Profit is a banker, a landman, and a farmer from Iowa. They do a biweekly podcast, not only interviewing others in agriculture, but talking about great things like farm financing, inputs, comparing corn heads. They are great. Also, The Barn Chat is a pretty real podcast. It's done by a father and son duo who raise hogs out of Iowa. That's another one I would suggest. And there's many more. If you have one that's a favorite, don't be afraid to drop me a line, ag@flagfamily.com, and I will be happy to continue to share those when I am using our Weather and Ag Facebook page and others. So don't be afraid to give good ideas when you see them, folks. I'm always happy to have that. Thanks for joining me. Don't forget, we are now in a winter weather warning, and we anticipate that starting tonight into tomorrow, things are going to get a little rough. So Al mentioned that the passing lane south of Grand Forks is starting to get a little icy, so everybody be careful in their commute, and tomorrow, don't be afraid to call in with road reports. We're going to want to hear how it's going out there for you. Stay tuned. The Jay Thomas Show is next.